Hey there, Katrina Blauer is here with you. And today we are going to dive into some mind-blowing research scientists have been doing in the field of lucid dreaming. They've actually spoken to people in their sleep. They've asked them to solve complex mathematical problems, and those people have responded. It's a bit like the real-life version of that movie Inception, where Leonardo DiCaprio enters into other people's dreams and interacts with them. In this research, which we're about to find out more about, scientists weren't doing anything sinister like in that movie where DiCaprio stole secrets from people's subconscious, but they do think being able to communicate with people while they're having a lucid dream has so much incredible potential. Things like helping people with PTSD overcome trauma, allowing elite athletes and performers to practice doing complex skills, and helping us remember the things that we want to remember, like if we wanted to learn another language, we could practice that in our dreams. Ken Paller is the Professor of Psychology and the Director of the Cognitive Neuroscience Program at Northwestern University. He's been doing this research and he joins us on the briefing now. Ken, what is a lucid dream and does everyone have them?
A lucid dream is defined quite simply as a dream when you know that it's a dream while you're still in the dream. So it means you can continue to have the dream with the knowledge that what you're doing is actually dreaming, not experiencing something in your waking state. Surveys suggest that about half of the people surveyed have had a dream that was a lucid dream at one point or another in their life. So it's not that rare, but it is rare for people to have them frequently.
So what are the characteristics of a lucid dream? Do you always remember that dream? Is there a time of night that you have this particular type of dream? Do the conditions have to be a certain way?
Well, one of the things that's most likely is that it's during a state of sleep called REM sleep. So that's when a lot of our dreams happen, and that seems to be when lucid dreams happen. And we have REM periods during the night, maybe every hour and a half or so, but we tend to have long REM periods more in the morning than late at night. So therefore, most lucid dreams are probably sometime in the morning.
So given that you seem to be aware while you're having the dream that it is just a dream, is the content matter of lucid dreams most likely to be pleasant? Otherwise, I guess you'd choose to wake up, right?
You can try to wake up, and you can also try to change the dream. So many lucid dreamers, if they're able to stay in a lucid dream for a while, will try to influence the dream content and create what they want to happen. Not that they have complete control, so they can't necessarily will exactly what's going to happen, but they do tend to have some power to make things happen, to meet people they might want to meet, or to make certain events happen in their dreams. So that's having some dream control, which is possible when you have a lucid dream. And maybe with some effort can be done in extreme ways to actually, you know, if you want to decide you want to fly, a lot of lucid dreamers seem to like to fly and just with their ordinary body fly in the air, and they seem to be able to do that. You also asked whether people remember them. And we actually have an answer to that from our research, which is sometimes lucid dreams are not remembered. In fact, most of our dreams are not remembered. And we may dream many times every night. Everyone's doing that. But not everyone's remembering dreams, and some people can remember more dreams than others. One reason for that is if you wake up in the midst of a dream, you're more likely to be able to remember it if you quickly think about the dream at that point. If you sleep pretty well and wake up later, you may not remember it. And our results showed that some people had a lucid dream, which we verified, and then some minutes later, we woke them up and they didn't recall it. So that's the first evidence to say that people can have a lucid dream without remembering it when they wake up. And then we can continue to converse with them if we ask them questions and they can signal with their eyes or with a few other means what the answer is. And with that method, we can verify a lucid dream during the actual dream in real time rather than only having the dream report when they wake up.
See, this is incredibly fascinating to me that you've got that element of control over those rapid eye movements. Because when I've watched, say, my partner sleeping and he's in that REM state, it just kind of looks almost out of control. So do you have a conversation with the person first to say, all right, to the left means yes, to the right means no? How do you explain that process?
That's right. We will set up a plan in advance. Usually this is someone sleeping in a sleep laboratory. So we're monitoring their sleep with various wires that are monitoring their brain activity and their muscle activity, maybe their breathing and their eye movements too. And with those measurements, we can determine what sleep stage someone is in. They might be in REM sleep. They might be in another set of stages we call non-REM sleep, which are either light sleep or deep sleep, stages 1, 2, and 3, we call them. And with those measures, we know what state they're in, so we can decide when we want to try to present sounds to them. In many experiments we've done, we present sounds during non-REM sleep, and our objective there is to study the memory processing that happens during non-REM sleep and to show that memories can be brought up and changed during that stage of sleep. Sometimes, maybe half the time, if we're lucky, people will realize they're in a lucid dream and then give us the signal that they memorized, that they can tell us with their eye movements that they're in a lucid dream. We can play sounds, we can play speech, spoken words, questions, and they can answer back with their eye movements or their respiration or sometimes muscle twitches that they can make.
And I understand that people reported that external info seeping in a number of different ways. Like some people said that they heard maths problems coming out of a car radio, and another person heard a voice kind of like a narrator. Describe for us the different responses.
So these are results that were obtained using slightly different methods in these four different labs and showing that we could all do some communication. And yes, as you mentioned, the sounds are heard kind of supervening on top of a dream. And they don't always get in. So sometimes maybe the dream is so interesting that the person dreaming doesn't pay enough attention to the sounds that are kind of soft in the environment where they're sleeping. So they don't quite hear it, and it doesn't pervade their dream. But sometimes it does. And again, our sounds are played softly because we don't want to wake people up. So play a loud sound, you're going to disrupt sleep. We try to get into the dream, you know, unobtrusively, and then the sounds can be heard in a dream. Sometimes they're heard like they're just coming out of the ceiling. Sometimes one person from France, I think, thought it came from the car radio because they were sitting in their car and the sound came out of that. So it can kind of intrude in the dream, maybe in a way that makes sense.
So aside from being super fascinating, what are the implications for this research?
Well, we're studying sleep to try to understand more about it. Why do we sleep every day? What are the benefits and what are the costs? What happens when someone's not sleeping well, not getting enough sleep, or maybe sleep just isn't working well for them? And that could be contributing to maybe psychiatric problems they're having or some other issues of depression that come up. And so we want to understand all about sleep. And one of the insights that's been growing more and more popular is that sleep is partly about memory. And so there are many reasons we sleep. There are many ways in which this helps us physically and, you know, makes us healthier when we wake up and so forth. Even our immune system benefits from sleep after you've had a vaccine, for example. But one of the benefits that we're interested in is how does sleep help your memory work? And we learn many things every day. You know, there are many potential memories we have, but we don't keep them all. We seem to be able to keep enduring memories now and then, but not all the time. And we're trying to think, what determines that? And we think what determines it is practice. The things you practice are the things you remember. And the insight here is that some of that practice happens while we're asleep when we're not even trying to remember things. And so our sleep is part of when we rehearse information that we've acquired recently. We stir it up together with other knowledge we have from older memories and kind of try to make sense of it all. And through that mechanism, hopefully keep the memories that are going to be useful to us, the things we need to know for times in the future. And so that's part of what happens in sleep. And we can study that by presenting these sounds during sleep and trying to manipulate what happens and then measure what happens in the brain.
So I guess things therapeutically like PTSD, or I'm thinking, you know, elite athletes who mentally rehearse things, could it be used for those types of things? And I guess even potentially to mitigate dementia?
So you mentioned a negative example and a positive one. So in PTSD, if you're having some traumatic experience that still needs to be worked through, you might really have trouble doing that, and you might have nightmares related to it. And so if we can intervene to help people sort of work through that and face their nightmares in a lucid dream, you could decide to wake up, or you could decide to go talk to the monster that's coming at you and try to figure out what it's all about and maybe get some resolution. As you mentioned, if you're working on a skill, maybe a little bit more practice would be interesting. You know, if you're a gymnast or a diver or something, you might want to practice your skill in your sleep. And if you do it in a dream, you could do it in slow motion, and that might be even better practice for you. So ways to practice things during our sleep. And I think that's an exaggeration of what everyone does. I think if you spend hours doing something while you're awake, chances are pretty good that your brain's going to come back to those memories during sleep. And that helps with motor skill learning. It helps with other types of intellectual learning as well. And so revisiting the things we've learned, we are understanding as a part of normal sleep. And we're thinking about, well, what happens when that's not working well? And are there ways to make it work even better that could be helpful for people?
So do you reckon we've only just scratched the surface of what's possible here?
Well, you know, there's always a lot more to learn, and that's why science is so exciting. There's so many questions to learn, and we've learned a lot in the past that we didn't used to know, and we're going to learn a lot more in the future. So it's, you know, a continual process, and there's always more questions to ask and things to find out about. We can certainly say that sleep is more important than we might have thought before, and that if you neglect your sleep, well, that can be detrimental for your memory, for your health in other ways. And so we really should pay more attention to our sleep and sort of figure out, well, how much sleep do I really need, and how do I make sure that I'm getting good sleep during the time I have?
That was Ken Paller, who's the professor of psychology and the director of the cognitive neuroscience program at Northwestern University. He makes a good point for people, I guess, who do see sleep as a bit of a waste of time. My dad used to always say, you sleep when you're dead. So he was one of those people. Bill Clinton, I think, only got 4 hours of sleep a night. But those types of overachievers could see sleep in a different way, as a way of helping them during their waking life. So really, really excited to see where this type of research leads us. Well, that's it from us today.